it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with The Bald-Faced Truth.
I love that we just had the host of the National Dog Show on this show talking about dogs. Our next guest's got a dog. He's a dog person. Tristan Jebbia. He's the quarterback at Oregon State, coming off a big win over Cal in which he rushed for a touchdown. He caught a touchdown pass, and he also threw a touchdown pass. What was that like, man? That must have been like being a kid on the playground again.
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of crazy because I think that's my first reception in an organized game ever. So,
you guys had practiced it. Jonathan Smith told us on this show, he kind of tipped that off weeks ago when he said, we're working on some things. We got some things in which, you know, the quarterback punts the ball or catches a pass. And so it wasn't a total shock to us. But what is that like when that play call comes in and you realize, all right, this is happening. We're running this play.
Yeah, you get to play, and you're calling it in the huddle. And I don't think it really hit me until I was calling in the huddle. I was like, okay, we're doing this, you know. And I looked to make sure that we had the right look. If not, you know, we had to check out of it. But we had a good look for it. And it happens so quick that you don't even really get to think about it too much, I think, which is nice. And, you know, just go out there and did it, and it was awesome.
Ball's in the air. What are you thinking as the ball's spiraling towards you?
I just think that, you know, my mind kind of went blank, you know, and we had practiced a couple times during the week in practice, and during practice it was even more open, so I was thinking to myself, don't drop it. But in the game, it was kind of just, it all happened so fast, you know, and I just was focused on the ball and got in. It was a great pass from Tyjon.
Here's what I liked about the game and the way you guys played. You came off a tough loss against Washington. You guys came out, you played hard. The defense made some plays. The offense made some plays. You guys found a way. And I think, you know, you're proving, this team is proving it's turned a corner. What did that feel like to walk off the field a winner? Do you feel like the program's turned a corner? You tell me.
Anytime that you beat a Pac-12 opponent or really any opponent that plays at a high level, Division I level, it's an awesome feeling. That was obviously my first win as a starter, and so that was a, you know, indescribable feeling. It felt awesome to be just a small part of that. I think that we have a lot of really good stuff in our program. I do. I think that our defense is really talented, and they work really hard. And I think the culture of the program is really what's going to get us, you know, to be where we want to be. And, you know, we want to be great, you know. And so our culture is just going to have to keep growing. And the hard work is there. You know, everybody's been putting in a lot of work, and we're really sacrificing a lot to put a good product on the field and to work hard for our brothers. And I think it's going to show.
You know, Tristan, I look at, you know, yourself as a quarterback, and you talk about moving forward and making growth. What areas do you feel like you need to work on? Where do you need to get better?
I think that there's really no, there's not a single place in my game where I don't think that I can get better, you know. I think that just comes with the position, and I think it comes for me especially right now, just, continuing to learn and grow at everything, you know, coverage identification and ball placement and, checks, alerts, decision making, you know, all of it. And that's why I've been, I'm in a great position here with a good team behind me. And and they make plays sometimes for me and to get me out of bad spots. And you know, that's the beauty of football, is it's a team game. And you know, but I'll be working hard to put us in good positions to win games. You know,
Tristan Jebbia, the quarterback at Oregon State, is our guest. All right, what do you see on film? Oregon played against UCLA. Are you watching that film? What can you say about Oregon?
Well, I know that Oregon's a great team. I know that from personal experience playing against them last year. Obviously, that was my first start, and they were really talented and well disciplined. And so I know that we're going to have to come with our best stuff on Friday to give them a good fight. And I'm just excited to get out there and finally, you know, get back on the field, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, every game is a gift, right? You know, the way that this season's going, and, you know, there's some teams that have had to cancel. There's some teams that look around, have to reschedule. You kind of have to prepare for all scenarios. The run game, though, at Oregon State has been reliable. How is it that Jamar Jefferson is getting yards and getting them the way he's getting them when everybody who is watching, everybody who's in that stadium has to know that this is what Oregon State's going to do? Jamar Jefferson's going to run the football. How is he still able to get yards?
Well, I think that Jamar is a very talented back. I mean, I think all of Beaver Nation knows that. You know, they've been watching him for, this is his third season. He's a great player, and we have really good coaching staff around that's going to get him in good positions to make plays. You know, and I think it's really that simple. Our offensive line's doing a great job in the run game. I couldn't be more proud of those guys, and because they work their tails off too. You know, and those are the guys that people might not talk as much about. Nate Eldridge and Jake Levengood and Josh Gray and Brandon Kipper and Anous and all those guys just work their tails off all week, and Munch works his tail off all week to put a good product on the field on Friday and Saturday for Beaver Nation. And I think that it's been showing up. You know, they work really hard at what they do, and I think they're really talented.
I've been watching a show called The Undoing on HBO. Have you seen this yet?
No, I don't think so.
You need to watch it. It's Nicole Kidman. It's Hugh Grant. And I'm curious to know, because now I'm stuck. I can't binge watch it because I'm now all caught up. It's the most frustrating thing, isn't it, when you have to wait a whole week for another show?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm feeling with The Mandalorian right now.
That's what you're watching? I haven't got into that. Sell it to me. Why should I watch The Mandalorian?
Well, you know, I'm just a big Star Wars guy. I love it so much, and I really like where they're going in season two, but basically, like, you just got a story from Star Wars that doesn't have to do with, all with lightsabers, and it's still an interesting story, you know, filled with depth, and it's just, another world, something to take you out of, take your mind out of this world and put it on, you know, wonders and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know.
What's Tristan Jebbia's favorite Star Wars movie?
Well, I might take some heat for this one, but it's pretty close between, I love Rogue One. I really do. And I love Star Wars, episode three. And then obviously the classic is after that. So I think it goes Rogue One, episode three, and then, episode four for me.
I grew up on the original ones. And I get why you like the episode one and all the older, the newer stuff. Because it's, you know, you probably watch the old stuff and you're like, oh, the special effects are nowhere near as good. But I just love the good old story. It's one guy trying to save the galaxy and he and his friends. I think there's something redeeming. Like, that's relatable to me, like even in a football sense.
Yeah, I think so too. I love the storyline, you know. I think that it was amazing, you know. And when you look at I saw the movies when I was young. You know, I was probably like 8 or 9 or maybe 10. So the special effects were awesome to me then too, you know, like, I don't know any better. I had recently just rewatched them, with my girlfriend who had never seen them, and she loves them now. But, and so she was like, oh, the special effects are nowhere near as good. Cause we watched them in order of, you know, the actual timeline. So episode 1, 2, 3, and then went back, you know, and watched the original, which is 4. And she's like, you know, after you see the fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, you know, the duel of the fates, then you go and you watch Obi-Wan fight Darth Vader.
Yeah.
It's a little different, a little less awesome. But you know, for people in the theaters in the late 70s that probably saw that, it probably blew their minds, you know?
Yeah. This was new. I remember lining up to go see the movie. I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. You know, well, your girlfriend's into the series. Would that have been a deal breaker? Let's just say she's like, I don't get it. That's not, you know, is that like, I'm sorry, I can't date you material?
No, she's awesome. And you know, she's awesome. I love her, you know, so it would have been okay if she didn't like it. You know, that's the more forgiving side of me, I think, you know.
But how about if she wasn't a dog person? She was like, I can't stand dogs. I don't want, that would do it?
If she was a cat person, it'd be tough, but yeah. You know, I think I would, you know, I'd turn a blind eye to it, I think.
You know, the confidence that you had in that first start that you had against Oregon last year in that, what was this, the Civil War game. Now we've got Oregon and Oregon State rivalry game. You have played some games between then and now. How are you different in this one than you were that first time out?
You know, I think that I have some experience under my belt, you know. I think that the playbook will probably be a little bit more open because I've had a bunch of reps at actually running the plays that we're going to run on Friday, you know. That's different from last year for me. And, you know, just having and, you know, now I'm a captain on my team, which is an amazing honor that they gave me. And just really having a strong feeling all week that, okay, like this is, you know, this is something that I can contribute to a win. And I think it's just an awesome feeling. But I think for me, I'm just going to go out there and try to do what I do every week, you know, and execute one play at a time and try to put my team in the best position to win the game at the end of the game, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's the way you got to do it. I think that's the way we have to live too. And I always say you can apply like sports things to life. Like I think we should all focus on what's in front of us and sort of be where our feet are at all times. You know, I know that be present, you know. And what about Thanksgiving? Yep. You know, it'll get interrupted for you because you got a football game the day after. How will you celebrate Thanksgiving?
You know, it's going to be, I think, my first Thanksgiving not being around my family. They're in California, and my grandparents are in Florida, and because of COVID, I'm not going to be able to see them, which is, it's going to be tough, you know. I love my family, and, you know, and that's a sacrifice that a lot of these guys around us are making right now. A lot of guys on the team aren't going to be able to see their families for Thanksgiving, and you know, and a lot of people don't think about that, you know, but we, you know, as players, we sacrifice, and the coaches sacrifice a tremendous amount to be able to do what we love. And, you know, we work really hard at what we do to put a good product on the field for Beaver Nation. And, you know, and so we're excited, you know.
I kind of feel like the pressure's off you guys in this game, and you're an underdog in this game. You're playing at home. It's a weird year. I think that the pressure has to be on the other side. Do you view it that way?
You know, I think that anytime you go into a game, you know, there's certain expectations that you want to meet on your team, you know, and yeah, they probably have a lot more to lose than we do, you know, but you know, I think anytime you, football is crazy in the fact that anytime you line it up, you know, anything can happen. You look at some of the upsets in college football history, the Michigan against Appalachian State, and, you know, Oregon State beat USC at home, you know, probably, what, 10 years back now, 15 years back. And, you know, anything can happen on any Saturday, and I think that, you know, Oregon's a really talented team, and we're going to have to give them our best, you know, to get the product that we want. And I know that they're probably saying the same thing in their interviews, that, hey, like, you know, every Pac-12 team is a great team. And, you know, it's cliche and it's kind of corny, but I really think it's the truth. I think that there's a lot of talent in this league, and you got to come ready to play.
Tristan Jebbia, Oregon State's quarterback, happy Thanksgiving to you. Good luck to you on Friday, and we'll talk to you next week. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah, of course. Have a good week.
All right, you too, man. Thank you. There's Tristan Jebbia, the quarterback at Oregon State. They need him. They need plays from him. They need a couple of few big plays from him. Jamar Jefferson on offense can carry the load for Oregon State. But if I'm Oregon and I'm game planning for this Beavers offense, if I'm Andy Avalos, I am making Tristan Jebbia beat me. And that, to me, is the pivot point for this becoming more than just Oregon State hanging around in this game. If Jebbia can make some plays, Oregon State is in this game. You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it here. We usually talk about on this show the things that we want to talk about, which makes sense. It's a talk show. I also think that we talk about a lot of things that nobody wants to talk about. One of the things I've been doing is I have been fleeting. Have you been fleeting, Peter Sampson? Have you used the fleet function on Twitter?
You know, I used it one time just to say I didn't like it, and that was it.
I'm not really getting it because... You know, although I am fleeting and people are looking at it, I'm not really understanding the impact of it. Like, why would I want to put something out there that disappears in 24 hours? Like, so everything I do disappears in less than 24 hours. Like, this radio show will be gone the minute it's over. The podcast exists, but it just kind of evaporates into the ether. The columns I write will sort of dissipate over time. So I don't get the idea of creating something. Anna, do you understand that? The fleet? Do you get the whole concept of... fleeting?
Well, you're saying why should you, and I'm saying why not?
this is some kind of political debate?
No, it's just...
Vote Anna.
If you're creating the content anyway that goes elsewhere, why not just also take a second and put it on Fleet? I don't know.
Maybe
or not.
Maybe the listeners could help us on that front. I wasn't planning to do this, but there's a longstanding debate in our household. You were student body president at your school.
Oh, we're going to do this today?
No, I'm just bringing this up. I'm not saying we have to do it. I'm just bringing this up. You were student body president at your school, and you got elected because you put up signs and you went around and lobbied people and shook hands and kissed babies and you played politician, right? I mean, is that how you got elected or
more or less?
How did that go?
More or less.
Back in high school.
Yeah.
I was essentially a jock who was masquerading like, you know, I would, I really like to read and write, but I was an athlete in high school, and I was at the assembly where they were, you know, the candidates for student body president and vice president were up there giving their speeches, and I was kind of scoffing and making funny comments to my friends, and the activities director said, you know, there's only one person running for vice president. You got something smart to say. Why don't you get up there and say it? And so I did, and I got elected student body vice president. Poor Christina Rossi.
Who
was a good kid and running for vice president.
Who had waged a solid campaign thinking she was going to be...
Nice girl.
The lone contender.
Really nice girl. She was into animals. She was like an agriculture kid, FFA kid.
Yep.
You know, really nice person.
Yep.
I'd known her for years. And then I just stomped on her in this poor election. I should like offer her an apology. All these years later. But the truth is, Anna, we have had a debate in this household. If we had been in the same high school running against each other, who would have won that damn thing?
Yeah.
And I am here to concede, to say, I wouldn't have run against you.
Oh, why?
I wouldn't want
the victory that way, though.
I don't need to be president.
I wouldn't need you to, like, forfeit. That's kind of a hollow victory.
I don't need to be the president. I don't need that responsibility.
Okay, but assuming you actually went all the way through with it,
It would have been interesting. I think the listeners of this show would probably vote for you. I think that. They get enough of me. I hear over and over from the listeners of the show via email, via message, via Twitter, in person, across, roll your window down and yell at me. Love Anna on the show. Love Anna.
Maybe they're
friends,
just the
neighbors.
Maybe they're just the vocal minority, though.
No, I got a text during the dog show interview.
Yeah.
Okay. From a listener who said having Anna be part of this dog show interview was great. See, it's that I deal with that all day long. You know,
yeah. I don't know. I
got Nelson Mandela here in the household.
No.
Everybody, you know.
No. You can't even compare me to him. I only won because I don't think people in my high school actually liked me. They just kind of put up with me because I made myself like in charge of everything. Mm. So by the time, you know, the girl who's been heading up the homecoming committee, deciding themes for this and that, by the time it gets to be, you know, senior year, they're like, geez, we'll just vote for you because we know you want it and you're just going to be in charge of everything anyway. So.
Yeah, obnoxious.
I think I was. I think people were just kind of sick of me and just...
That would have been my whole campaign then. You know what? Me or obnoxious?
Yeah.
What do you want? You know? I would not have made a good president.
No?
Nah. No, I didn't want it.
Well,
I didn't want to be the president.
That would be hurdle number one.
Some people run for student office because it looks good on a college app or resume or their parents want them to do it. I had none of that. No motivation. There was nothing in me that said this is going to look good on a resume or this will look good on a college app. None of that.
I have to know, though, like, as the jock guy, athlete guy, you were nice to people, I hope.
Yeah,
right?
I was.
Like, you weren't, like,
super nice.
Jerk jock. You were nice guy jock.
Everybody, I don't say everybody liked me. I'm just going to say that I was friends with most everybody. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I like that. I still pride myself on that. Like, I think relating to people is a lost art, especially in this world where we're in now. We're not seeing each other. Everybody's on social media and everybody, you know, and that might surprise people, but I think I could walk into any of those. I could have been with the rockers or the stoners or the groups in the Breakfast Club. I think I could have seamlessly moved through those groups, the nerds, whatever. It didn't matter. I had a little bit of nerd in me. I had a little bit of everything in me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was, you know, probably my strength.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because that was also my strength.
Mm.
We're
not running against each other. Can you stop campaigning for a second here? Take your victory. I don't want to be anything. I don't want to be vice president. I don't want to be sergeant of arms, least of all.
You know
what is that?
Was that an actual position?
Oh, yeah.
We had
a sergeant of arms.
Wait, what does that person do? Are they in charge of? What are they in
charge of? The militia on campus. I don't know. I don't know what the sergeant of arms was in charge of. Yeah. We had a treasurer. We had a secretary. We had an activities person. We had a sergeant of arms.
Sergeant of arms?
Yeah.
Did they do anything for poor Christina Rossi?
Yeah, they created a position for her.
Who you upended.
They created a position.
At the last minute there.
Somebody had empathy. Somebody saw it.
Yeah.
Because somebody went,
crap.
Mm-hmm. She was supposed to win.
Yeah.
She was running unopposed the night before the big assembly. Her parents probably told her, there's no pressure on you. There's nobody running against you. And then to her horror, I come out of the crowd unannounced. Nightmare scenario.
Here comes Johnny Canzano. Did people ever call you Johnny?
Yeah, they called me that.
They did?
Yeah.
Did you care for that?
No, I went more by JC.
Yeah.
Because when you're John, this is why we named our kids unusual names. Because you're John and Anna. You're used to being in a room where they go, John.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.